Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. The Commanders are one day away from finding, hopefully, their generational quarterback. Don't forget to think about your next generation as the exclusive sponsor for our show. The law firm of Condori and Murad is willing to guide you and your family in the right direction. They will help you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that we sent you. If you mention the show, you'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to both pick a side. Danny will be the defense for Jaden Daniels to go second. I will defend Drake May as the worthy recipient of the number two pick. You guys will then serve as the jurors and pick Team May or Team Daniels. But we have prepared our opening arguments and our thoughts on why our guy should be the number two pick. We can cross-examine each other as well. So that'll be fun coming up in a bit. But right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter to Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We're joined by Logan Paulson, longtime tight end in D.C., who was also a 10-year NFL tight end in the league, and nobody's smarter watching the film. Logan, thanks for the time. You know this like we do. Everybody thinks Jaden Daniels is the pick at number two. Are you buying that?
I think at this point, yes, I do agree. I think, you know, obviously everyone has their own personal rankings, and my personal ranking is probably JJ, that's probably who I end up taking, but I do understand the Jaden Daniel argument. I think here's a guy with excellent mechanics, excellent vision down the field, the playmaking ability as a runner, obviously not like a true scrambler in the sense that he doesn't run to create from the pocket or create to throw, but I do think like all of those things coupled with the improvement he saw over the last 5 years in college football kind of make me think that's the direction you want to go. The work ethic that he's showed is storied at this point. You know, he's the first guy in, last guy out. The way his coaches talk about him is exemplary. He just seems like the guy, all signs pointing in that direction. But I do think that's all still hearsay at this point. I think that's what people need to understand is that whoever is making the decision, in this case Adam Peters, has not told anybody anything. So that's all speculation. But I understand kind of why it's moving in that direction. I think that kind of nice foundational floor for him, coupled with his tremendous upside, seemed to make a lot of sense there, too.
So I want to come back to Daniels and further discuss that with you in a minute, but we're burying the lead. You just said something that I perceive to be a bit of a bombshell. You would take J.J. McCarthy second overall.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think a single person that we've had on the show has said that, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I think the thing with me is that, like, when I watch him, I see it's familiar to me. Like, when I watch his film, like, I see the drive. I see the drive concept. I see CO. I see mesh. I see NFL concepts, and I see him executing them at a high level. Like, I see his eyes in the right position. I see him manipulating defenses. I see him understanding coverages. I see him making tight window throws. I see him anticipating and throwing guys open. He's throwing to space. He can throw that Y-high cross at an extremely high level. Those are all NFL throws. And am I aware of his limitations as a player? 1,000%. The throw volume's not there. The throw variety's not always there. I'm with that. He wasn't asked to carry the team. I'm with that. But I just, when I see a transfer from what he does in college to what he's doing in the NFL, it just works for me. And again, like, That's my own personal opinion, that that projection is easier for me. And I just want to be clear, that doesn't mean he has the highest ceiling. That doesn't mean anything other than I like what I see from him, and I like his leadership qualities. I like that he made Michigan a winner. He was part of that process. But I think the other two guys have higher ceilings. I feel very comfortable with what I see from him. I like the way the ball comes out of his hand. I think he's got a much better arm than people think. I love his ability to run the quarterback design run game, the zone read, the quarterback powers, the quarterback counters. I like that element. I think people sleep on his athleticism. But, yeah, that's what I like about it. It's familiar, it's comfortable, and I see the transfer at a very, very high level. And it makes that projection element of the from the college game to the NFL game a little bit easier for me. But, again, that doesn't mean he's going to be the best pro.
So, look, give me my take here, and I want your thoughts on this because I'm fascinated with what you're saying here. So, to me, he's a first-round quarterback, and we're picking nits and we're putting him in a hierarchy, but he still deserves to go in the first round for me. I couldn't take him in the top five, though, and here's why. These one-score games, like against Penn State where he didn't throw it, against Alabama where you end up winning it in overtime, they won those games, and that's awesome. He won it when it was called upon, made some great plays. But at no point in time was it, you know, hey, maybe it's a good idea to take our top five quarterback and throw on first down. You know, just to let him do some of those things that you're talking about. I understand that Harbaugh's got his own way of doing stuff, but it just – that would scare the hell out of me because we didn't really see it anywhere near enough at that level, and they didn't win because of him, really, right?
Yeah, well, what I'd say to that is two things. One is, first off, in got-to-have-it situations, meaning red zone and third down, I think, or backed-up situations, you see Michigan does lean on him. They lean on him at very specific moments, very high-leverage moments. I think he does execute in those moments at a very high level. The other thing I'd point to also is that's like a Jim Harbaugh philosophical approach. Like, one of the reasons Andrew Luck loses the Heisman to Robert Griffin III is because they run the football too much at Stanford. Now, does that diminish Andrew Luck as a prospect? Does that diminish what he can do? No, and again, I'm not comparing. I am comparing Andrew Luck to J.J. McCarthy, but only in terms of usage in the context of a Jim Harbaugh offense. Obviously, Andrew Luck is significantly better as a prospect. But I do think that that is something that people probably – we're obviously very aware of when they were voting for the Heisman, and I think it's something that you can be aware of here with J.J. McCarthy as well. But I think you need to be aware of it in the sense that look at the situations where he is throwing the football. So on third down, red zone, backed up, and those are situations where the windows get tighter, the defense knows you're throwing the football. He's throwing that, you know, if you watch the game against Alabama in the Rose Bowl, like, that's an NFL defense. And you watch that same version of the defense. Obviously, Michigan's running it versus UW a couple weeks later. Like, Michael Penix has no idea what's happening. And I think, like, that just speaks to his awareness of what's happening. And it just speaks to a guy that understands defense at an NFL caliber level. And I even hesitate to say that because it's not – he still has a long ways to go in that regard. But I do think you see all of those traits. And so for me – what I point to is everyone says, oh, you can't take him at five or you can't take him at two overall because he's not a top five player. Like, if I trust my evaluation, I trust my interview process, I think it's entirely likely I could take him. Now, I understand that the Commanders probably won't do that. A lot of teams won't do that. But if Logan Paulson's the GM, that's definitely something I'm considering. And I already said that I think I'd probably err towards Jane Daniels because I think his ceiling is higher, but don't get it twisted. I'm a big J.J. McCarthy fan and supporter in this draft.
Yeah, we could tell. That's Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. I still will circle back to Jaden Daniels, I promise, but I want to go to Drake May. Now, you and I have not talked about quarterbacks specifically in several weeks, but I remember initially when I hit you up after I started watching these guys and we talked, right away you were, I don't want to say anti-May, but you were not a big May guy, and I kind of fell in love while watching him. And I am readily admitting, like, people always are like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. Logan is smarter than me, knows more than me, watches film better than me, all those things. But I still, like, it's an inexact science, right? Adam Peters is smarter than all of us, and he doesn't get it right every time. So I'm acknowledging the holes in my game here, that I am not a GM, and you're way closer to one than me. But I do see this differently than you. So with Drake May, I love him. I'm smitten with this guy. What am I missing?
So I'll say this. I love Drake May, too. Like, that's the thing is I love all three of these guys. And they're just ever so slight differences that I'm having to kind of call out that I would kind of differentiate because everyone likes this vertical ranking. But in terms of if Washington selected Drake May, like, I'm doing backflips because dude's insanely talented. I think when you look at his big-time throws, like, he can do it all, man. And I think he's probably the best creator outside of Caleb Williams in this draft, and I love that, man. I love, like, the Farvian kind of let's let this sucker rip into a tight window. Let's, you know, scramble and do some off-schedule stuff and off-platform throw and deliver an absolute dime. Like, I love that. I think the thing that kind of has shook me with him, and I can't get by it, and some people can get by it, and I think that's why people love this quarterback debate and why you said, I love you said that great, it's an inexact science, is there's inconsistencies to his play that I just don't understand. Like, I watch, and, you know, I've talked to quarterback coaches, and they've watched film of him, and they've kind of saying, like, you know, this throw should be completed based on his mechanics. And if they can't find a correction, and I can't find a correction, and I have no reasonable explanation as why you're skipping a hitch to a receiver who's wide open, or you're the ball placement's a little bit off in these certain situations, I have I don't have a great level of confidence.
So let me double click on this with you. I want to redirect on this because I know exactly where you're going, and I want to tap in your expertise. Am I right in saying, like, his flaws, some of the mechanic stuff, the misses, the bad layup percentage, all that stuff, I think that's more coachable, fixable, easier for me to see corrected than some of my Jaden Daniels concerns. Is that crazy?
So it's not crazy, but I think the thing that I've come to is that I've talked to quarterback coaches about him, and they've been like, I don't see any issue with his fundamentals. Now, that's not universal across the board. There's certain guys you talk to, like, oh, if he does X, Y, Z, everything's going to be fine. But I think the fact that there's certain coaches that think everything's fine, and that I'm like, if everything's fine, then how do we resolve the inconsistency? So that's the thing that I kind of came to there, is like, some people think it's correctable, some people don't think it is. And when I watch his big-time throws, when I watch his misses, there's not a huge discernible difference between the mechanics in one versus the other. And I think that's the thing that gets me, is like, maybe it's just like how he throws the football. And again, if Drake May got signed here, I would be doing backflips, because the high level stuff, like, he's an excellent playmaker with the football in his hands. Excellent. His ability to run, all that kind of stuff is excellent. It's just the inconsistency, and it's your level of comfort with that level of inconsistency. So I look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who I think is a really good comp for him, right? He had some of these same inconsistency issues in college at Cal. He sat for 2 years, gets all that stuff corrected, and becomes the player that we know and love, right? So my thought with him is that if he had to start tomorrow, I think he could start tomorrow. It's just the offense has to be limited and encourage a growth cycle for him. And could Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury do that? 1,000%. But I'm just a little bit – I have my reservations about him reaching the pinnacle, him being, you know, Justin Herbert 2.0 or Josh Allen 2.0, because of the type of inconsistency we're seeing. And I think, Sims kind of articulated it the best. It's like, you know, when you watch Josh Allen, even though he was terribly inaccurate or terribly inconsistent with his completion percentage, the ball was where he wanted it to be. And I don't feel that same way when I'm watching Drake May all the time. And again, you said this already, it's inexact. So maybe you get with a coach who says he can get it corrected. If that coach tells me he can get it corrected and we can get this guy more consistent, I'm in, right? I'm excited for Drake May. I think he's an excellent football player. It's just, for me personally, as of right now, I don't understand the inconsistency, so then therefore, how am I supposed to correct it? And that's the thing that I keep coming back to with him. Everything else you love. It's that level of inconsistency that makes you a little bit worrisome.
Logan Paulson with us here on G&D. So let's get to Daniels. I'm infatuated. I know there are negatives and there are things that scare me about him, most of all his frame and the shots that he ends up taking. I'm just terrified that can't be coached out of him, and I've got shades of 2012, which we don't have to get into. But to me, the high, the ceiling, those playmaking things, I covet it so much. I want defenses to be terrified of us. I want other fan bases to be jealous of us, and I see it there, but I realize that I've got my Looney Tunes, heart glasses on. I'm doing the ahuga kind of thing when I look at him. What are the flaws? What are the things that worry you, and where do you see that ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the million-dollar question with him, is, like, I think one of the things that gets me excited about him is I think he's been pretty consistent with his improvement since he started his college career. Obviously, he's kind of a part of this Arizona State program that's exploding. He has the COVID year. He transfers to LSU. He has a new offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator in 2023, and somehow manages to continue to progress. And I think that's a testament to kind of his work ethic. And I think when you hear people saying, like, he's an ascending player, I think it's not an ascending player in the sense that, like, obviously the circumstances have improved, but also I think he's kind of made his own luck in that regard. So that's something that gets me really excited about him. Now, there are issues with what he does that make me very, very nervous. You know, and I think, like, one of the things that I keep coming back to with him that I can't shake is the offense at LSU is insanely simple, right? Like, I was talking to a guy, we're talking about receivers, one of my NFL buddies, and he was saying, oh, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. runs eight routes. That's so unconventional for any level of offense, right? You have a receiver that runs eight routes over the course of the season. So,
like, there's no way that's true. Is that a real number?
That's a real number. So eight routes, meaning like you run a go, you run a hitch, you run a 5-yard out, you run a 5-yard in, like that. Like, you just, the sequencing of those routes.
That's scary to hear, though. I mean, it's that simple.
It's crazy, right? And when you watch the film, you see that. And, like, I think if you, I've told people to go do this, watch Jaden Daniels' explosive throws. They're all big box fades. Go watch J.J. McCarthy's explosive throws. There's a vast variety to them. Go watch Drake May's explosive throws. There's a vast variety to those. I think that's the one thing that gives me pause about all this. Now, I think the playmaking ability, the got to have it situations, like in 2 minutes, like, dude just finds ways to make plays. He's layering throws in a very specific context, specifically the big box fade. He can scramble with his feet, but he finds ways to make plays in those critical moments, which I love. But the simplicity of the offense is something that gives me a lot of consternation. Now, when you talk to people about him as a person and talk to people about all of these guys, JJ, Drake, you know, Jaden, they're all kind of these, they're exemplary human beings. And so I think that's something that I kind of go back to, his work ethic, the fact that he continues to improve, the fact that, like, when you hear Kelly talk about him, the head coach at LSU, he always is talking about how he is always hungering and striving to get better, and he did improve every single day he was there. So maybe you're betting on the fact that even though this offense is crazy simple, you bet on the playmaking ability, you bet on the playmaking moxie, the willingness to make those plays, in conjunction with the fact that he's continuing to improve. And I think that's what I'd point to there. But in terms of things you can't shake about, guys, like the offense there, like, man, it gives me a lot of nervous energy, very similar to what I was talking about with Drake May. But I do hope that because of the stuff you hear about him kind of taking on this VR, you know, getting 250 extra reps a week using this digital system, that he's willing to and is going to improve in a way that kind of suits the NFL game at a high level. So,
Logan Paulson with us, Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I mean, some of the statistical issues I guess I have are relate back to taking sacks,
sure,
turning pressures into sacks. And then for me, I love mobile quarterbacks. I like quarterbacks that can run, but I need my quarterback to be throw first, throw second, run third. And when I look at Daniels, you look at highest scramble rate under pressure, dating back 10 college football seasons. Malik Willis, 29%. Some guy named Dustin Crum, I don't know who that is, 27%. And then Jaden Daniels and Hendon Hooker are next on that list. If you look at percentage of pass attempts when moved off your spot, so how often when you're moved do you reset and throw the football? Penix, 71%. Caleb Williams, 65%. May, lower than I'd like, but 48%. Daniels was barely 20%. Lowest in FBS. NFL high, 74%. Average, 57%. The lowest in the NFL this year was 38%. Daniels was half that when moved off his spot, the number one rusher in the class and the 33rd passer among quarterbacks coming out this year. Like, these are things that I just have a hard time getting past.
Yeah, 1,000%, man. And I'm totally with you on all that stuff. And I think it's important to bring that stuff up. But if you're drafting a quarterback based on analytics, you're drafting Bo Nix at number 2 overall. Like, analytically, he's the guy that checks all those boxes. Now, there's something about Bo Nix that tells you he's not the number 2, not the second best quarterback in the class, right? Like, when you watch the film, there's, like, the playmaking ability. He's obviously insulated by the offense. And I think with the stuff with Jaden Daniels, when you look at him and you watch him play football, again, what you bring up are 100% valid concerns. And that's why, to me, all these guys are in the same tier, right? JJ, Jaden, and Drake. They're all in the same tier because there's no perfect prospect, right? So when I look at him, I say to myself, you're going to take more sacks because you are a scrambling quarterback. Because you have the ability to work with your legs, you're going to do that a little bit more. I also look at the offense, and there's not always great answers in the context of the offense for him to distribute the football. Like,
that's a good nugget. Pass. That's good to know.
What's that?
That's a good nugget. That's good to know. So, like, yeah, they didn't make it easier for him to solve the riddle.
100%. And so, again, like, just like he's throwing to Malik Nabers and, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., who are going to be top 20 picks in the NFL draft, like, they're not giving him great answers versus pressure all the time, right? So that's one thing, right? I don't love the fact that instead of becoming running to throw, he's running to run. I don't love that. But again, like, when he does do that versus Alabama, when he does do that versus Missouri, that's two of the best college defenses this last year. Like, he makes plays. And I don't want to rein in his playmaking ability, kind of saying, I want that to be at the forefront of what he does, essentially is what I'm saying. So with a scrambling quarterback, that is something that's a stat that's going to be a little bit higher. Also, I think the other thing I look at too, just like there weren't great answers, they're not all sacks are created equally, right? So in the context of what you're talking about, sometimes the offensive line has free runners. Like, I'm watching a play versus Missouri last night where he throws a big box touchdown to, I think it was Blake Nabers, right? Again, big. I keep going back to this big box play, which is great at throwing, but you'd like to see more variety of throw, but they don't block the blitzer. Like, they just don't block him. The O-line slides to him, they don't block him. Now, he makes a great throw and delivers the ball, but there's times over the course of the season where those turn into sacks. So I think not all sacks, not all statistics are created equally. Now, do you need to be aware of it? Sure, but I think you need to go back and kind of watch all those plays and kind of make a decision for yourself where you're saying, like, is this going to be a fatal flaw? Like, when you watched, the kid from Liberty last year, what was his name?
Malik Willis.
When you watched Malik Willis, that was a glaring issue with him. You could tell his eyes and his feet just didn't match up to concepts. Like, he'd start to his left and just go right down the read, right? He'd go 1, 2, 3, 4 to the back. And you could just tell he wasn't seeing it very well. With Jaden Daniels, he sees it fine. I go back to the simplicity of the offense. Like, he should see it fine because the offense is very simple. But he's not doing that. He understands where space is. He's delivering throws. And now does he take sacks? 100%. But I think that's something I expect from a guy who runs a lot. And when I watch all the sacks, not all of them are his fault. You know, some of it's offensive concepts. Some of it's mental mistake by the offensive line. And it's something that I've come to be okay with regards to an alarming statistic that I don't think is telling the whole story when it comes to how he's playing the game.
Logan, excellent as always. You've earned two full portions of arugula to go with your bone broth today, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, man. I
you
appreciate
earned it.
It.
Yep, you did it.
Logan, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, pal.
Appreciate you guys.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Always good to talk ball with him. Next, Decision 2024, Team May or Team Daniels will both be defending one of the players and making the case for them as the worthy recipient of the number 2 pick. You're listening to The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are taking you up to 6:15 tonight. Thanks to Logan Paulson. If you missed any part of that conversation or our draft discussion earlier in the day with Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, who was awesome, you'll be able to podcast those segments when we're done at thefandc.com. Most notably from Logan, he has J.J. McCarthy at the top of his board. He would take him 2. Non-Caleb Williams, best quarterback in the class for him, or the guy he feels the best about selecting and getting quality results from. On Drake May, the concern that he can't shake inconsistency within his play, he said, if I was a GM and my coach told me they could get it fixed, then I'm all in. On Jaden Daniels, who he would take, above Drake May and who he thinks Washington will take. Quote, "One of the things I keep coming back to that I cannot shake is that the offense at LSU is insanely simple. That's the one thing that gives me pause." He referenced a coach who he's buddies with who told him that Brian Thomas, the wide receiver at LSU, ran 8 routes this year as an example. Basically 8 different combinations that he was asked to execute, speaking to the simplicity of that offense.
Which is, again, that's a nugget I don't have. I don't know. I mean, you know, watching Jaden Daniels play, it's exciting because guys are, when they have a step, the ball's there. When they have 5 steps, the ball's there. So I don't know. You know, if it was that simple, I would go, wouldn't SEC defenses, including some of the best in the country, like Missouri or Alabama or otherwise, be able to slow it down and stop it? But again, Logan knows more than I do.
All right, so let's get then to the people's court, if you will, the listener's court here on Grant and Danny. So you were defending Jaden Daniels.
I am.
As the, we're trying to convict someone of guilty of being the number 2 pick, I think.
You're convicting him of a good thing.
So then we wouldn't be defense attorneys, would we? We got to rework this. You are arguing on Jaden Daniels' behalf.
I am.
To be the number 2 pick. I will be arguing on Drake May's behalf. So why don't you go first? You're the leader in the clubhouse. You get the opening thoughts.
One of the best seasons we have ever seen at the college level in the best college conference. I could stop there, but I won't. The highest ceiling in this draft may include Caleb Williams. I could stop there, but I won't. I know everything the other counsel I'm looking at right here is going to say against me. The sack percentage, what about it? What do I do? Here's what you do. You actually look at some of these numbers in the story that they tell you. Expected points added per sack. Jaden Daniels, this is going to be a negative number because they're sacks, minus 14.6. Caleb Williams, for example, minus 25.8 expected points added. And the precious jewel, the apple of the eye, Drake May, minus 17.3, a.k.a. Jaden Daniels, a better number in this department, than Drake May. It tells the story that I've always argued here all along. It's that, what are we looking at these sack numbers for? Drives are killed. Right? A guy's back there who can't process, who can't figure it out. He's overwhelmed. He gets hit. He's a disaster. It's not the case. Among the fewest yards lost per sack in the nation, again, infinitely better than Drake May, infinitely better than number 1 pick, Caleb Williams. That's what Jaden Daniels has to offer. The expected points added covers all of the negative things that everybody keeps pointing out and looking at. He has nearly double the expected points added of Drake May, who in himself is a great prospect. I'd have no problem if they took Drake May. But Jaden Daniels is a better prospect now. Jaden Daniels is a better prospect for the future. So the numbers that Grant's going to give you, they're great numbers. I'm excited that he's found them all. I'm excited that he's got them and he's going to share them. Remember, the rebuttal is already there for you. The numbers that I've given you, the effect of those sacks is minimal. It is a result of a porous offensive line at times. It's a result of free rushers. It's a result of a guy that can generate outstanding plays. You have to take a couple more hits, presumably, a couple more negatives on a way to, again, incredible high-ceiling performances. Jaden Daniels is the pick at 2. The defense rests. Or the prosecution rests. Which am I again?
Yes.
Yes?
You mentioned that he had one of the best seasons in college football history. I'm happy for him. That's why we gave him the Heisman Trophy. That's no longer relevant here as we move forward into the National Football League. You mentioned the EPA on those sacks and what happened on those plays, and how many yards were lost, and what happened thereafter. His supporting cast helped him get out of some of the bad on those plays. You mentioned the porous offensive line that was the blame for many of those sacks, perhaps. That's an offensive line, I might add, that is led by a left tackle who's going to be the number 1 left tackle taken next year. As one of 3 offensive linemen expected to go in the first round who he played behind this year. That's not to speak to the 2 wide receivers, count them, 2 who could go in the top 15 and will certainly go in the top 20 in this draft class. His supporting cast was fantastic. So why Drake May over Jaden Daniels, you ask? Well, Drake May, not Jaden Daniels. Drake May, not Jaden Daniels, is the only quarterback in college football to have 9,000 passing and rushing yards last year. So everyone wants to talk about college performance and how much better Daniels was than May. And he was electric last season, that's true. But over the last 2 years, May, by the way, is just a boy at 20 and 21 years old in his first 2 seasons. 9,000 total yards. That's more than Jaden Daniels amassed in his 4th and 5th years as a starter. Jaden Daniels is going to be 24 this season. Not a huge deal, but there's less projection, less growth there. When you flash when you're younger, historically, it's a better sign. Same reason I'm lukewarm on Bo Nix, who's much older. It took you a long time to get good. See Kenny Pickett. When you've played 30, 40 games before you become a superstar, that can be a little bit telling. And everyone likes to say, what about Joe Burrow? Not the same. Joe Burrow never played at Ohio State. Joe Burrow's first time playing was at LSU. He didn't have five seasons as a starter like Jaden Daniels, who's got 55 starts to his game and to his name. Drake May just 26. Twice as much football played. We're comparing year two of Drake May to year five of Jaden Daniels. Imagine comparing a sophomore quarterback in the NFL, what they know, what they do, to a fifth-year veteran. I would like to bring up the size of my client, Drake May. Prototype size. Built in a laboratory. 6'4", 230. This is what you look for. This is what you make and create for your player in a video game. Meanwhile, Danny's client is 6'3" and change and really, really tried hard to eat a bunch of donuts and lift a bunch of weights and got to 210 at a combine that he'll never play at. The only quarterbacks in the history of the first round who have been drafted around the same height as Jaden Daniels, who are as light as him within a few pounds, Robert Griffin, Teddy Bridgewater, and Alex Smith. They stay healthy in their career. Which of those guys stayed the healthiest? He takes massive hits. You can't coach that out of someone. That's like saying, I'm going to coach Rex Grossman out of throwing interceptions. He is a guy that will take massive shots. I could continue, but I will turn things back over to you, Counselor.
That was a great case. I actually really enjoyed it. You didn't go with the numbers that I thought you were going with.
We'll get there. There's a lot more to do.
Well, I'm sure you will. This is all relative performance, right? Going up against the best players in the country in the SEC, of which there are tons that are going the first few rounds of this draft. The best teams reside there, with a couple of Big Ten exceptions. And the performance commensurate with that level was outstanding. Drake May, on a much lesser level against hot garbage, didn't perform particularly well against the decent teams. None of them could hold any of the jockstraps of the SEC.
Drake May's PFF quarterback rating, their score for him, was a 90. Jaden Daniels was an 80 against Power 5 opponents.
Again, that's adorable. He stunk throwing the football against Clemson. Throwing the football against NC State. Ran around, but that's not supposed to be our criteria. We're supposed to hold that against him unless it's for our guy. The point is, against good competition, he was not good. He didn't play particularly well in the pocket throwing the football, which is supposed to be his calling card. There's a lot of potential there. Don't get me wrong.
Team didn't play that well.
Right. A bad team against other bad teams. He's not that great now. He's a great project. And again, if he's drafted at two, I wouldn't be upset because the starter kid is certainly there. I wonder why all the inconsistent misses. I wonder why we can't hit a check down simply. I wonder why the accuracy issues went away from him. I don't understand what happened if someone who's that good, who's ready to play right now, according to some, would be that inconsistent and struggle that mightily when he should have been the best player on the field every time he stepped on the field against the NC States, against the Pittsburghs of the world, Virginias and so forth. They actually had a great game against Virginia.
To the jury, I would just say, way overstated the issues on some of the layups. That is the flaw, is that he doesn't bat 1,000 on those throws. That's much easier to fix and much less a problem, in my opinion, than some of the things Danny's client's going to be dealing with in the very near future. But I go back to help. I go back to when you're talking about how he performed in certain games. Wins above replacement WAR for each starting quarterback who's going to try to go in the first round here. Caleb Williams, his supporting cast, running backs, receivers, tight ends, and O-line, was worth 2.5 wins value. Drake Mays, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix is comparatively. Jaden Daniels, supporting cast, worth 2.2 wins when you add it up. The performance of McCarthy supporting cast, 2.7 wins. Bo Nix, 3.6 wins. Drake May, minus WAR from his supporting cast. They hurt him more than they help him. If you look at some of the lists that Jaden Daniels is on, I won't even use sacks and pressures to sacks, Danny, because I know that that's not music to your ears. You get very upset. But Jaden Daniels, number one this season, coming into the year, you think, okay, well, let's see what he does when he resets, when he's off schedule, when he creates. Is this a guy who gets to the second read and extends plays? He pulls the ball down and he runs. That's kind of what he has done. I like my quarterbacks to reset to throw. He threw to his first read 75% of the time. When it wasn't there, he took off. He hit those throws, to his credit, 71% completion percentage on those first read throws. After that, 46% second read and beyond. He had the highest scramble rate under pressure among quarterbacks since 2014, other than Malik Willis, of guys drafted in the first three rounds. You look at percentage of pass attempts when moved off spot. Penix, 71% of the time, still throws. Williams, 65% of the time, still throws. Daniels, 20%. The lowest number in the NFL this year was 38%. He does not reset after he comes off of his first read and moves around in the pocket. He takes off. That's not a good thing.
What happens when we drop back? How do we measure it all? A good stat is QBR, adjusted total quarterback rating, which values the quarterback on all play types on a 0 to 100 scale, adjusting for the strength of opposing defenses faced. Jaden Daniels, number one in the country, 95.7. Give me a second. I got to scroll down to find Drake May. It's going to take a minute and a half. You can probably make a point here.
QBR, right?
QBR, yep. 14th in the country, Drake May. So again, all adjusted for opponents. So the idea that, oh, he's got help or he's going against good teams, bad teams, it's all adjusted relative to who you're playing against. Who dropped back and did the most, did the best? It was Jaden Daniels. That predicts well for the future. Who did the 14th best against bad competition? It was Drake May.
Which I'm glad that it predicts well for the future, because very few things do, including leaving clean pockets, where on 9.4% of clean pocketed dropbacks, he took off and ran. That's more than Justin Fields at 8%. By the way, Penix, 1%, Stroud, 2%, Caleb Williams, 3%. Over 9% of the time, 9%.
Nine times.
Jaden Daniels left a clean pocket. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. We'll continue our cases next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Danny is representing Jaden Daniels. I'm representing Drake May. You can line up your rulings, Team May or Team Daniels, at 800-636-1067. We both think they're going to take Jaden Daniels. Danny wants him to go. JD, I want him to take May. Although you've said a couple times you'd be happy with Drake May.
Totally.
I'd be less happy probably than you with Jaden Daniels, but I'm not going to be upset. The ceiling, the apex, the possibilities. It's like, how do you view it, right?
Yeah, what would your happiness level be out of 10? 10 out of 10 is, let's say 10 out of 10 is May, because that's their best option for you.
Yeah, 6.
Okay.
Like, I'm not upset by any means. I'm nervous. I'm anxious.
See, I'd be an 8 with Daniels, because I'm scared to death of everything. I'm scared of my own shadow, and probably like a 6.5 or 7 with May. So, like, I'm good either way.
To get back into my lawyer character, though, I'm not even going to bring up, Danny, that your client's agent is being a silly goose on social media.
That's not admissible.
I'm not even going to bring up that your client's pre-draft process has not been nearly as seamless as my client's.
Objection, hearsay.
Stories swirling about our clients.
Objection, argumentative.
Okay.
Nailed that one.
Quarterbacks drafted in the top 3 rounds, taken with pressure to sack percentages over 20% on non-blitzes. This is over the top 3 rounds ever. Pressure to sack percentages over 20% on plays where there was no blitz. Will Levis, Hooker Hendon.
Hendon Hooker.
Yes. Hendon Hooker. Who am I saying? Hasn't gotten on the field, okay? Will Levis, Malik Hooker's friend Hendon, Desmond Ridder. This is the list he's on, by the way.
Yep.
Malik Willis, Kyle Trask, Mason Rudolph, Deshaun Kizer, and Christian Hackenberg, and Jaden Daniels. Sandwich him in between Kizer, Rudolph, and Hackenberg on that list. You want to talk about pressure to sack percentage on over 2.5 seconds in the pocket over the last 2 years. Penix at 6.8, Nix at 9, Richardson at 10%, Stroud at 12%, Scroll way to the bottom of that list. Jaden Daniels, 28% worst among the quarterbacks over the last couple of years. And I would just point to as well, look at what you do when you're pressured. May stands and delivers 55% of the time. Daniels, 36% of the time. What do you do when you're pressured? May takes sacks 14-plus percent of the time. Daniels, 23-plus percent of the time in his career. Daniels escapes more often, 18% to 15%. Not a big deal, but a little more. Scrambles twice as much, 18% to 9%. I want my quarterback to be throw first, throw second, run third. He is, as soon as it's not there, run. And oh, by the way, take shots along the way. Lastly, we had Benjamin Solak of The Ringer on the show yesterday. I call on him to let you know that Daniels actually had a higher interceptable pass rate than Drake May did, despite the interception totals this year, 4.5 to 2.9. A lot of people say, oh, Drake May threw too many picks. Jaden Daniels didn't throw picks. Well, that's true. 4.5% of Daniels' passes interceptable. About 3% of Mays were.
Neither numbers are troubling, by the way, in terms of percentage. I would throw that out to you. Of the names of all the pressure to sack percentage guys, it's not a good list of names. Who doubled up their next closest competition and expected points added? None of them. Jaden Daniels did. The reason this is so significant, again, what's the point of tracking this stat? The point is you're going to find a guy that simply can't do it. You'll find a guy that's overwhelmed, that starts to see ghosts, finds the rush, can't process, can't get the ball out, can't do anything. That is not the case, again, with Jaden Daniels. This EPA number is the number we should all be focusing on because that covers what happens during those negative plays. His negative plays aren't as negative. It tells you that what should be a 10-yard loss, which Caleb Williams would take, which Drake May would take, are probably 1 or 2 yard losses due to some magical, incredible skills that Daniels possesses that nobody else in this draft does.
Still a bad play?
We should be, of course, but the play was probably doomed, and he made it less bad. That's special. He has the special skill and the highest ceiling.
Grant and Danny trying to sort out who should go number two here on 106.7 The Fan. It's a weird way to say it. Who should go number two? Who does number two work for?
How about a courtesy flush over there, buddy?
Here's why I disagree with what we should be focused on, P2S versus EPA or whatever the number you're referencing is. Because when you actually look at who has had success and who hasn't, hits versus busts among what I'm going to call hypermobile running quarterbacks, the hits... pressure to sack percentage in colleges were a lot lower than Jaden Daniels. Jalen Hurts, 11.7%. Lamar Jackson was about Drake Mayish, 17%. Kyler Murray, 16%. Josh Allen, 17%. Deshaun Watson, 11%. That's an average of 14.9%. Of the hyper-local running quarterbacks who didn't have pressure to sack percentages that were in those reasonable areas, Malik Willis at 30, which is close to Daniels's, only guy that's worse that I can find. Fields, 25%. Lance, 20%. Mariota, 24%. Average, 25%. Those are the guys that busted. So there is a pretty direct correlation right at the threshold of about 20% of the guys that have had not had success in the league versus the guys that have. So to just dismiss the number, I'm not willing to do.
The whole point of what I keep trying to hammer here is that number is very real. None of those guys had the context or nuance or excellence that explained the stat away, like Jaden Daniels. So when he scrambles out of a dirty pocket or what should have been a sack, probably would have been a sack for anybody else in this draft, and barely gets back to the line of scrimmage and it's a half-yard loss, it goes as a sack. And it's, oh, what a failure he is. No. That's why he has the fewest yards lost per sack of anybody in the country. It tells you the story. It's not that he's a disaster back there and can't figure it out and turtles up like Sam Howell. That's not what's happening. What's happening is he's maneuvering, he's moving, there's a chance for a play being made.
That's still not good.
Of course it's not good.
The point is it would be worse. He'll be an outlier to that stat.
Absolutely. And because the numbers tell you.
That's a fine argument. But when you start with he'll be an outlier, you are acknowledging this is an alarmingly bad number and he's different because ... So if you want to put a flag in the ground and say, hey, there are a few guys that have allowed not a lot of sacks to hurt them that have been a highly sacked quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, and it won't come back to bite them in the butt, that's fair. But we're starting by acknowledging this percentage is a bad threshold, and he's going to have to be different.
Because there's a point to the stat, right? The point to the stat is drives are killed, it's a disaster.
The point to the stat to me is he doesn't make his offensive line better, and when there's pressure, he can't get out of a sack.
And the story tells something else there, or the numbers that I'm referencing tell a different story. There's still too many sacks taken. Absolutely, that's a thing. Absolutely.
800-636-1067. We want to hear from you guys next. Team May, Team Daniels. The draft's tomorrow. We're Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.